The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. It's the second Sunday in Advent, and you saw the second candle lit and you heard the reading. The second candle is the Bethlehem candle. I always like that, the Bethlehem candle. It gets me ready for Christmas. I don't know about you. But then we look up here and we see the watchword, prepare. Last week we talked about the first week that we are to watch, but what are we watching for? And we see the second word, prepare. And the natural question is, what are we preparing for? Are we preparing for Bethlehem? Would stand a reason, wouldn't it? Bethlehem candle, prepare, we're preparing for Bethlehem. All you have to do is go into downtown Brookings or go to Sioux Falls or go over to Minneapolis, and you're going to see the streets and the stores and the malls filled with people preparing for Bethlehem. Just a few short weeks and it's Christmas. We've got to get ready. We've got to decorate. We've got to bake. Oh, Penny with baking cookies. Oh my goodness, it was terrible. She was preparing for Bethlehem. All the shopping that you have to do to prepare for Bethlehem. But I've got a secret for you. You don't have to prepare for Bethlehem, because Bethlehem has already come. When we are looking at Christmas, at the Nativity, at Christ's coming incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary and laid in the manger, that has already happened. We don't have to prepare for it. So what are we preparing for in Advent? There's a phrase in our gospel text that most of you, I'm sure, have just, you've heard over and over and over again, and you may have never given it a thought. But if you stop and think about it, you're going to arrive at the conclusion that your assumptions about it make absolutely no sense in the world. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. Those words, baptism, repentance, forgiveness, sins, have just become for us largely institutionalized. We don't tend to think deeply about them because we don't tend to think deeply about them. We don't understand how absolutely radical this notion is. So let's talk about them a minute. Repentance. What do you think it means to repent? Does it mean to confess? I stole a cookie out of the cookie jar. I cursed. I got angry when I was driving to work. I did all these terrible things. I had these terrible thoughts. Oh, God, I did all this bad stuff. Is that repentance? No. No. Depending on what's going on in your heart, it could be repentance. It could also be bragging. Repentance is not confession. Repentance literally means to turn around. When you repent, you turn around. You turn away from sin and you turn back to God. So why would you get baptized for repentance? It doesn't make sense. If we think that baptism is our dedication, they came to the water and they got baptized so that they could repent. That doesn't make sense. If baptism is a dedication, then you have just dedicated your life to turning around. What's wrong with that? Why not just turn around? You don't need to dedicate your life to it, you just do it. So how could it make any sense to have a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? Because we can get the water on us. We can do that part. We can try to turn around. But we can't forgive our sins. So what's the point? The point is that we do not take baptism on our own. We don't baptize. We are baptized. When John stood in the waters of the Jordan and called people to a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, he was acting as a prophet of God, as God's own herald calling people to repentance. And when the people came and they got into the water and John lowered them into the water and raised them back up, he was acting for God. It is not we that dedicate ourselves to repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It is God Himself who dedicates us to that purpose. The natural question is, why? And Mark answers it for us. He says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." He was calling people there to prepare for God's coming to them. He was coming. That's what John was proclaiming. God wants to dedicate you to turn back to Him so that He might forgive your sins. But there's the key thing. If we are sinners, if we are fallen, if God's law and God's prophets have been unable for centuries to turn His people back to Him, why would He think that splashing some water on their heads would do it? That's not it at all. Now, prophets are not here to dazzle us. They're here to proclaim God's word. That's why we have the prophets. Most people, when they look at this passage and they say, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then John appears, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of the sins. They're going to go, wow, isn't that cool? Hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Hundreds of years before John began to baptize, God predicted it through his prophet. Isn't God cool? Wow. You know what? God could care less if you're impressed with his predictive ability. Doesn't matter to him in the slightest, and he is not trying to blow you away. He's not trying to get you to say, wow, isn't God cool? God is so cool that he doesn't need you to know it. That's not what prophecy's about. When God proclaims His word through His prophet, it's because He has something He wants you to hear now. It's not about the future. It's about now. Now here's the thing about where the Gospels or the Epistles quote the Old Testament prophets. They actually do it for a purpose. They don't do it so you can go, oh, cool, look, that points to Jesus. That's not the point. Does it point to Jesus? Yes. But in a far greater way than you could ever possibly imagine. It's not the foretelling that matters. It is the forthtelling. It is what God is trying to tell you in that prophecy. Not the predictive element that's important. So, in the New Testament, when it quotes a passage from the Old Testament prophets, it's actually an assignment for you to stop and go and read what it says. Because maybe you'll learn something. So, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And it says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the proclamation of God's herald. prepare for the Lord because He has forgiven you. And He will reveal Himself to all of you. This is what we are to prepare for. This is what we have been baptized for. Not so that we might repent and He might forgive us. Because if you notice in Isaiah, God forgives us before He tells us to prepare. We are forgiven so that we might prepare for His coming. In the same way, we are forgiven so that we might turn back to Him in repentance and be forgiven. God's forgiveness precedes our repentance, and our repentance is our preparation to receive His glorious presence. You see, this gospel passage begins with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That cannot, if it is our repentance that might lead to our forgiveness, that's not good news. But that God has forgiven us so that we might, through grace, turn back to Him in faith. That is good news. He has prepared so that we might turn and come. This morning, He has prepared His body and blood. He has prepared His table so that we might come. It's not that we come to the table and then He prepares. It's all already been done for us. We prepare to receive in ourselves what He has already completed for us. What is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? That God has forgiven us. And in Jesus Christ, God has revealed His glory to us. And we are His forever. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. We will continue with our hymn of the day.